All right, we'll call this meeting to order. I want to welcome everybody here this evening. If everyone would stand, and we'll say the pledge of the flag, and then Commissioner Titchener will lead us in the invocation.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you today just thanking you for all the things that you do for us, for the many blessings you bestow upon us each and every day. Lord, we ask that you be with us here today and that everything that is said and done here is pleasing to you. Lord, we just continue to ask that, you know, you guide and direct us. We ask all this in our most precious holy name. Amen.
Please be seated. Mr. Nall, do we have any additions or corrections to the agenda?
Yes, sir, we do. We have an addition for requesting Swanton Community Center for property tax credit, and we have a request for 3 board appointments. These are affirmations of advisory boards that the boards are making the request, and the commissioners need to approve them.
Okay. Any questions about the agenda? Motion to approve is amended.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Agenda approved by mutual consent. Everybody got a copy of the minutes from the previous meeting. Are there any additions, corrections, or concerns with the minutes? Hearing none, do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve the
minutes. We have a second.
Second.
Motion, or the minutes are approved by mutual consent. To the amended part of the agenda, Swanton Community Center property tax credit request. I'm assuming that's a carryover from previous years.
Yes, yes, sir, it is.
We just have to approve that every year.
Yes, sir.
Any questions on that? Do we have a motion to exempt the community center from property tax?
So moved.
We have a second.
Second.
All right, question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The board appointments, and these are all from, we don't appoint these folks. Their individual boards appoint them, and then we approve the appointments, and all of these people have agreed to serve.
Yes, sir, they have.
We'll take these as one group. We have the Garrett County Department of Social Services Advisory Board, Bill Aspinall, to a 3-year term. Drug-Free Communities Coalition, this will be a youth representative, an eighth grader at Southern Middle School, Teresa Wolf, and the Local Emergency Committee. Change the Community Action Committee alternative member from Gregan Crawford to Mark Rodeheaver. Any questions on that? All right, we'll take these as a group. Do we have a motion to approve those appointments?
Motion to approve all the appointments.
We have a motion, we have a second.
Second.
Question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, all of that is approved. Okay, June is Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month. We do have a proclamation, and this is personal for me, as my aunt has suffered from this disease for 20 years now. We have a proclamation for Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month, June 2016, whereas Alzheimer's disease, a progressive neurodegenerative brain disorder, tragically robs individuals of their memories and leads to progressive mental and physical impairments. Whereas Alzheimer's is the 6th leading cause of death in the United States and is the only cause of death in the top 10 that has no cure, no treatment, and no way to slow its progression. And whereas more than 5 million people in the U.S. are living with Alzheimer's, including 100,000 in Maryland. Whereas there are over 291,000 dedicated caregivers who provide unpaid care at home in our state, valued at more than $4 billion. And whereas, according to the National Institute of Aging, Alzheimer's disease also indirectly costs businesses up to $37 billion a year in lost productivity for employees who miss work or leave their jobs to provide care for a relative. And whereas researchers in Maryland and around the world continue their efforts to develop scientific breakthroughs that could one day bring about a world without Alzheimer's disease. And whereas with early detection and diagnosis, individuals and their families can gain access to treatment, medications, enroll in critical research trials, fully participate in planning for the future, and receive help and support from the Alzheimer's Association. And whereas there is a need to raise awareness about Alzheimer's disease and to honor all the caregivers who support and care for their loved ones with Alzheimer's disease, now therefore we, the Board of Garrett County Commissioners, do hereby proclaim June 2016 as Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month, signed by Commissioners Heimbaugh, Tichenor, and myself. And Donna Faust is here to accept this proclamation today. Is there anything you all would like to say?
Well, Alzheimer's is personal for me as well. My mom suffered with Alzheimer's for a number of years. She passed in 2008. I'm a resident of the county. I worked at the health department for 30 years and worked with a lot of families with this disease. So it's something very close to my heart, and we're glad that, not that I have a job now, but just that there are some outreach here in Garrett County for folks and families.
Thank you for all the you guys.
Purple is our color, if you haven't figured
thanks.
That out.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Diane is our support group leader in the county.
Okay, next on the agenda, we have a public hearing that will be facilitated by Pat Hudnall from the Department of Utilities. This is for a boundary amendment. So, Pat, I'll turn it over to you, sir.
Pat, you said three properties?
Three properties, yeah. They're all adjacent to each other.
They've already been repaid.
Second water service area is the Thayerville water service area. We're proposing to remove the property associated with 19015 Garrett Highway. It's right at the end of the line. Correctly included in the previous service area. Again, we cannot provide service to it, so we're proposing to remove it from the service area. Any questions? The third water service area amendment would come in the Mountain Lake Lachlan Heights water service area. Proposing to remove parcel 9 of map 85 along Baker Farm Road. The parcel line was incorrectly represented when we drew them originally, so that piece is actually associated with this parcel over here that cannot receive service. We're also proposing to remove a property associated with 820 Smouse Road. Again, does not front the service line, cannot provide service to it at this point. Questions? We'll move on. The sewer service areas and the Deep Creek Leak sewer service area, we're proposing to remove subdivisions. Holiday Hill subdivision is located just north of Innsbrook, if you know where that is, along 219 next to the bridge. And also the Meadow Mountain Run subdivision along Glendale Road. Again, both of these cannot be served by public sewer at this point. We're simply removing them from the service area. We're also proposing to add a property associated with 2661 Glendale Road. He's requested inclusion in the service area to abate failing septic system on his property. We can provide service to him for that purpose. Questions? Second sewer service area is back to Deer Park. Again, we're removing properties associated with 332 Calderwood Road, same as in the water service area. Again, we cannot provide service to them. We're also removing a small parcel, no improvements on it. It is tax map 73 parcel 286, located along Shady Lane. Does not front the sewer line. We cannot provide service to it. Last is going to be the Mountain Lake Lachlan Heights sewer service area, proposing to remove basically the subdivision known as Wolf Acres, or is it, yeah, Wolf Acres Drive, and those lots in that area. Cannot provide service to them at this point.
I guess
those are the amended changes we have. I believe you have a resolution. I think Kevin has it that reflects these changes, and that you sign off.
And just so everybody knows, Pat, correct me if I'm wrong, all property owners are informed, all know what's going on.
At
taxes aren't impacted, that's already been taken care of, they're aware of all that stuff.
This will have no impact on the ad valorem taxes. In fact, all these properties that we're removing now were abated the previous tax year.
Yeah.
Once we realized the mistake, this is just a matter of formality. It is on the record. So there will be no effects to ad valorem taxes on any service district.
Any other questions by anybody for Pat before we move forward on this? It really is just a formality. Okay, any questions, gentlemen? Therefore, resolution, Garrett County Resolution Number 2016-2, a resolution of the Board of County Commissioners of Garrett County, Maryland, pursuant to the provisions of 9-648 of the Environment Article of the Annotated Code of Maryland, approving the proposed changes in the service areas in Garrett County designated as Deep Creek Lake Water, Deep Creek Lake Sewer Service Area, Thayerville Water Service Area, Deer Park Sewer Service Area, Deer Park Water Service Area, Mountain Lake Park Lachlan Heights Sewer Service Area, and Mountain Lake Park Lachlan Heights Water Service Area, and making certain legislative findings in connection therewith. And then basically that. Do we have a motion to approve the resolution?
So moved.
All right, we have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Second question on the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution passes. Thank you, sir.
Sir.
Thank you. Oh, this is the... Okay, next on the agenda, staying with Mr. Hudnall, Public Works update on the Bloomington water system. Pat?
Thank you. Very quickly, wanted to update you gentlemen. We have made application to USDA Rural Development for engineering report and environmental report. Those have been completed and submitted to USDA along with that application. The preliminary engineering report does indicate the most feasible alternative is connect to Westernport, provided they get their project done. As part of that application for funding with USDA, we had to notice our application in the paper, which we have done, did for 2 weeks in April. We received no comments back from that notice. Last week, I met with Westernport, representatives of Verso, representatives of Luke, and the engineers that represent each of those stakeholders in their project. And it sounds like the Westernport project is moving along quite well. Phase one is funded. Phase one is the tank and the line from Westernport to the new tank. Phase two would be the line from the tank down to Luke and the mill, which is what we need to have happen to construct our project. Phase one is funded and believe it's going to be started this fall. Phase two is awaiting funding, but they're anticipating receiving the funding and actually constructing that line concurrent to phase one. So we're anticipating a lot of work down there in the next year or so, which puts us on pace to get our project moving quickly. As soon as we get word back from USDA, which I'm hoping is going to be August or September, we'll begin engineering work on our project and get that ball rolling.
For construction in 17?
For construction in 17.
And Pat, I know at one point in time you and I had talked, and I think you might even been giving us an update. Does it still look like there's a good chance that when all this shakes out, we'll be able to lower the ad valorem tax in Bloomington?
It is looking that way. We're obviously, we don't have hard numbers yet,
right,
from USDA, but indications are it'll be weighted heavily on grant money. And at that meeting, I also spoke with Representative of the ARC, who indicated, and he's got money in Westernport's and Luke's projects to go along with this. Indicated he had some leftover money that he was prompting me to apply for, which would be all grant money we can use. We also have MDE money. I'm sorry, I forgot that.
Right.
Grant money there. So it'll be very heavily funded with grant money. So there should be very little debt left on that system. We should be able to either hold steady or lower the ad valorem in Bloomington.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that.
Any questions?
I just had one question. Were you able to get, I know the engineering, they were talking about they were going to use that existing line there and sleeve that water line through. Is that what you're looking like doing?
We're still looking at that. Yeah, we've had some preliminary discussions with the town of Piedmont. And there were a couple of concessions we had to make in our project that serves as a backup water supply to them. Although above that new line that we want to take is not really usable. It's still their backup. Preliminarily, they've agreed to work out a deal with us to take that line and use. That's one of the things we're going to be hammering out this summer, is an agreement with Piedmont for that line and an agreement with Westernport for the water.
That was supposed to drop your construction costs significantly.
It's 2 weeks ago, right?
And I'll just say, money you're thinking the ad valorem may be flat or go down a little bit?
Yes. In worst case, it'll stay flat.
Does Westernport facility need to be improved upon, or is it just a connection?
It does not, just a connection. As far as their water treatment, I believe the water plant actually went through some upgrades in the past 5 or 8 years. I can't remember exactly when, but they have gone through some upgrades. They're finishing up a project right now to button up their distribution system, eliminate some leaks. They've gotten their water production down quite a bit. So they're gearing up to be able to produce enough water to feed the mill.
May 26th.
We're really a drop in the bucket compared to what the mill's going to take. I think they're looking at 200,000 a day, I think. Bloomington uses 15,000 a day.
All right, any other questions for Pat? Thanks, sir. Appreciate the update. Keep up the good work. All right, this time, get to public commentary. Before we take comment from the audience, I do want to give an update on some things that we've been working on the last couple of weeks. About 2 weeks ago, we met with MDE on a lot of stuff involving Marcellus Shale. Their timeline, I know we've talked a lot about this, and you guys know that we have pressed them to hold their meetings out here so that everyone has an opportunity to meet, collaborate with them. Where they're at right now, so that everybody knows, they plan very soon to issue issue papers that they will post, and they'll take, it won't be every single issue to ever arise, but it'll be broad issues, and then they'll talk about the things that they're thinking about doing. So they're not going to release the proposed regulations because they're going to put the issues out, because the proposals may change as comments from the issues come in, if that makes sense. They are going to do that because they are going to have their first round of community meetings the last 2 weeks in June. None of the dates are set yet. They are going to have a meeting in Baltimore at MDE. They are going to have a meeting in Allegheny County, and they're going to have a meeting here in Garrett County, probably here at the college. We asked them specifically to hold the meeting here last so that it would give people more time to digest the issue papers and be able to ask valid questions when they get here. And they have agreed to honor that request. So then they will have a comment period on the issue papers. And then, help me out, Jim, if I get this wrong. Then they're going to actually put the proposed regs out for comment, and they'll do another round of community meetings after that, one of which will be here, and I think the same three places, one in Baltimore at MDE, one in Allegheny County, and one here. So they have honored their commitment to us. They did tell us the last time we met with them, we stressed to them we wanted to have some of those meetings here, and they are honoring that, which I'm pleased with. And I think they're going to have lots of opportunity for input and participation and collaboration. So I know that's on the forefront of a lot of people's minds, and that's where we are right now with that. So having said that, is there any public comment at this time?
Just yes, a question about what you just said.
Sure.
Did you say the white papers are coming out by the end of the month, or they?
They're going to be out before their meetings so that people can read them to see how, when they have the meetings, they can reference them in the meetings.
So those meetings will be over by the end of June?
Yes.
And that's the public comment period on those white papers. Do you know when the proposed regulations would be posted?
I can't remember what. I don't think they didn't have specific dates for anything. They had general. They want to have the issue papers out probably, I would think, the end of this week or early next week. And then the three meetings, they're going to have pretty much that. They want to have the meetings in before July.
The end of the meetings on the regulations?
On the issue papers.
On the issue papers?
Yes.
By the end of June?
Yes. That's why we asked them to have the meeting here last, to give our residents the most time to digest the issue papers, which they have agreed to do, since it impacts us more than anybody else.
So is it unlikely they will adopt any regulations by October 1st as required in that legislation? Because then they have to publish the regulations, and there's, is it 30 or 60 days? What's the counter?
They have to have the proposed regulations proposed by October 1st, I think.
It says adopted.
They have to be adopted by October 1st.
It says it has to be submitted to AELR probably 105 days in front of them. So that's the question.
The one thing they did make clear, I think, was that they're, correct me if I'm wrong, but they're more concerned about the quality of the process than those specific deadlines. They wanted to make sure that they allow for adequate input and get everything out, rather than, I don't know how hard those deadlines are. I'm impressed with the people that are working on this down there. They not just knowledgeable, they have a great attitude. I think they've called, talked with some of you all. They've talked with, you know, they're out collecting information. I think they're doing a really good job with it.
Yes, sir.
Going to almost all the commissioner meetings for the past commissioners and hardly not going any into these, something bothers me. I was used to the rotation of leadership at each of the 3 years, okay? So I'm missing that, and I'm missing when each of the three reports what they've been doing and activities for the county and so forth. I don't mean just get your picture in the Republican. I mean, what have you been doing and aiding and so on? I voted for three commissioners. We're paying for three commissioners. I'd personally like to see what's going on, and I get a feeling that there's only, I hate to say this, like one working, just only because of what I see and what I hear. I just started hearing something, great. Well, I went to the meeting that was at the college, the big meeting where Mr. Edwards presented, and you two just kind of sat back. I know this sounds negative, but it's trying to be positive. I just sat back and watch you two sitting there and not talking, and that kind of bothered me. It's been bothering me for 6 months, I guess it's been now, or whatever. So that's kind of my comment, and you probably don't have any real response, but this is what I'm feeling, and I don't want to feel that, okay?
Well, the only comment I would add is we have an excellent, I can understand how you could perceive that. What I would say in response is that we have a excellent working relationship among ourselves. We communicate very well among ourselves. And I think Larry and I are comfortable with Paul being the spokesperson, the chairman. We both have a vote just like he does. Our vote counts as much as his vote does. He knows that. It may appear that you know that he is, I don't want to say the only one doing something or the dominant one or whatever. He is our leader. We elected him as the chairman and a spokesperson. I worked for the county for 17 years. I don't ever recall each commissioner giving a report on what they did or what they had been working on. They talked about issues as they came up. There may have been a particular issue that somebody was involved on, you know. I can only tell you, as somebody who's been in a lot of different organizations and held a lot of different leadership positions, that I think that we communicate well among ourselves and that we are functioning as you would expect a board to function.
But we want you to communicate with us.
Do you guys serve on other boards or commissions?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, guys, there's no, Nick, I know what you're saying, and I've been asked about this often. There's no rule or law to how each commission is free to do it however they want to do it. This is how we've decided to do it as a commission. Each one of these, actually, both of these guys serve on more boards than I do because they have, I have a job during the day. Not that they don't, but they're more free, I think, in their time. For that, both of them serve on Garrett Trails, and Larry's on the TAC and Forestry Board, and Jim does a lot of work with Tri-County Council and
Greater Cumberland Committee. Local Emergency Planning Committee.
So they.
Vegas doesn't have to stay in Vegas.
Well, the other thing, Dick, is we have administrative sessions, which is exactly where what you're asking for should take place as far as quality meetings are concerned. Those are open. You're welcome to attend anytime you want to. And that's where we do a lot of that debrief, and we usually do a lot of these board appointments and things like that, because these meetings really should be, are we voting on anything? Are we having a presentation, updates by our department heads, and to be able to make public announcements like we just made and take comment like we're taking now. That's really what a public meeting should be. Otherwise, you can get bogged down in minutia for hours and hours. So, administrative sessions always open. Feel free to stop in and check it out.
And I think the one big meeting you referred to was probably the State of the County we did at the college. That was our first one. we'll probably do it differently. We have one coming up in July, and I think you'll see in us using a different format for that.
I just want to add that, you know, Jim's already said this, but I just want you to know, coming from me, that I'm very comfortable with Paul being our spokesperson and our chairman. I don't have the aspirations to have chairman after my name. It doesn't matter to me that that's the case, and I don't think it has Paul or Jim or any of us. Paul is a very good spokesperson. I think he's better than I am, and I won't say whether Jim or not, but he's very good at it.
Well, thank you.
You know, as Jim and Paul both said, my vote counts as much as anyone else, and my opinion is heard. And, you know, I think work very, very well together. So, but just so you know, I'm very comfortable with the position that I'm in. So.
Any other comments? Yes, sir.
A couple. The meeting that you've got this afternoon for the budgeting part, I can't attend. I have another board meeting. But I had a question about this is an open meeting that you're going to take input on? Or is this just explaining some of the budgetary points that are going to be coming in?
It's an open meeting on the budget. Basically, what we do is we'll present the budget. We'll go through what was proposed or what was requested and now what our proposed budget is. Then we'll actually adopt the budget at the next meeting. So there'll be a two-week comment period, if you will. The public meeting we're going to have is just if people have questions in the here and now or if they want an explanation of sort of what's going on financially. Everything's online actually right now.
I've reviewed it, and that's why I had one question was, we know that there's been the discussion about the economic study that was being done for Marcellus Shale, and that the funding requirements for it, you know, that we're scraping those pennies together to try to find some money. But when I was reviewing the economic development's actual spent money, where they went $1.4 million over what their budget was, I was wondering if there was an explanation, if there's something that would show what that. Because we're seeing this economic study as being something that's kind of in that same realm. And if we can find $1.4 million for these small projects as they were outlined, you know, can we not get some of that money to come over to that economic study and help? Again, I know it's not the place you're wanting to do it. It's over there, but I just can't be there.
But I think that's probably an Alex and Scott question. Of exactly what the overruns were or weren't, or why the numbers fell where they may. Sometimes it's just a reallotment within the budget, within the line item.
Yeah, I was reviewing pretty tight, and I'm seeing that 1.4 for that type of monetary value to come in, there would have had to be specific requests that were associated with it. I would assume Kevin was probably familiar with why they were at that point of being at exactly 1.3875.
Well, I can't answer the question because I don't know the answer to it. But I will tell you from a total budget, I don't want to speak for them, but for me, I don't micromanage budgets. So once we set the money, and since we didn't go over budget, bottom line, Scott must have worked it out. A lot of times what will happen is those guys will work together. He might have said, hey, I need my – and I couldn't even tell you what the projects were. I know we talk about projects and we say, let's do this. The first question I'll ask, do we have the money? And Scott generally says, yeah, we can find it. And where they move and stuff, I don't get into the weeds.
Why don't they do that the year before when we saw that $4 million that came in for ASCII in the 2014 project? You know, there was a lot of funds there, and there was a lot that didn't even show up on the books.
Right.
I met with Ronnie and Scott over that specifically because there was so much that didn't even show up. You know, they're having – county roads guys that were going and working at ASCII's that weren't being allocated or shown as a cost out for the county.
Well, I can assure you that stuff is not happening now. What's that?
I thought the repairs were being done by ASCII. Maintenance, filters.
It's in an enterprise.
They were doing stuff for 2014.
Yeah, they were doing stuff for 2014. But So I think you need to ask Scott that question of where that money came. If that's your specific question, I think the question is for Scott.
It just seems that if we have that type of money that's available within the budget, if we took the 1% out of every department that you asked them to do the year before, and that you actually had that kind of money sitting there, that we had 1.4 that was available.
I think you're mistaken. We didn't magically create $1.4 million in new money. That didn't happen.
No, I wouldn't have suggested that. I'm saying that there's probably departments that...
Well, you said there was just money sitting around.
Can I just give clarification? Because I asked a question at your last meeting about the update on the economic study, and you said that MDE had asked to see the RFP once it was done, and they would consider putting money into this as well.
Yeah, and we mentioned that when we met with MDE. They absolutely are, I don't want to say they've committed a certain amount of money, but I think I left with feeling pretty good. They basically verbally committed to helping. I just don't think but what they said was they want to see a real dollar amount before they say we can cover X amount.
So is the RFP
exactly.
Is that a public document, the RFP, or?
I don't think quite yet. They're still with it's still with them. I asked about that today. Kid, you want to talk about that at all?
Yeah, the committee still has, I know they're back and forth making comments. I think as soon as they're ready to make a recommendation.
But the county would still consider putting 2017 money in if it's a broader scope of work than originally.
Yes, and there's money. You know, there's always a contingency fund within every budget. There's money that you can move stuff. But I don't want to say there's just money sitting around, Eric. That's probably not
well,
accurate.
I met with Janet and Larry, and we went over that because they had Larry over at the Board of Ed. But you know, they had monies of what they were doing. They were still showing them allocated as part of specific departments and specific.
They put them in as placeholders.
They were never utilized within those departments.
Yeah.
Now having those funds sitting there. They were because they have to come back to you guys and actually ask to move it from some areas to other areas. And we were seeing that when we were closing schools. There was a whole different scenario. But
sure.
I know that there is, you know, creative things that can occur and make things happen.
I think in many of these cases, there's a logical explanation about why those numbers changed. And I wouldn't get hung up by the fact that there isn't a line in the budget that says economic impact study. I mean, we've told you that we're going to help fund it. We've got money from ARC. We've got a commitment from MDE. So it's good that you keep the pressure on, but I think you can.
I don't think it's pressure. That I mean, really, honestly, because like again,
well,
we've seen a lot of things that have gone on, not necessarily this administration, but we've seen a lot of things that have gone on at the county level that you want to see something either in writing. You want to see something that's actually a line item, that's a budget item. You know, to know that. There's a commitment from your community for doing something. Give or take for whatever it is. You know, shale, ASCII, CARC. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things that are happening. You know, it's just that you know that when that line item comes out or you guys take a point with it or a resolution to it, then we know that it's an actual item, just like you did with the, you know, funding for Bloomington. Thank you. That was great.
Well, not to drag it out, but during the course of the year, there's deletions. You know, there could be a line in the budget gets deleted during the course of the year for some reason. There'll be things that are added during the course of the year.
Well, you have department changes.
So,
everything.
Yeah.
And without getting in the budget, there was ARC for economic development income of $1.2 million to offset that $1.8 million for ARC project. So that's part of it. That's a big piece of that.
Yes, ma'am.
Beyond the $75,000 for the economic study, what it would cost really to do the whole thing. So I just want to make sure, so the RFP that's going out would have that kind of range of services, please give us information on a proposal for the $75,000, but also give us information on what it would cost to do the whole thing. I guess I just want a clarification.
The information that I've seen includes, yes, this is the scope of work, and then the committee has made some other recommendations. So you have task 1 through 3 and options 1 through 3. Yes. What that will look like when they're finished, when the committee's finished with it, I don't know, but that is included in the draft documents that I have seen.
Anyone else?
On the economic study, that was one thing that I had submitted as a suggestion, was that even if the budgets aren't there, the budget isn't there for this year, is to, if you had an ability to expound on the study, that could possibly come in subsequent budget years. Because something that was brought up earlier is that we don't really have a baseline economic study for the county, but we're kind of jumping ahead with the understanding of the impacts of Marcellus Shale on tourism, which is very specific. So it seemed to me that it'd be really beneficial to the county, particularly non-lake area, non-tourist-based economies, to understand what our baseline is. So, which sounded to me like what Kendra was talking about, was that's when you start to get into the Cadillac version. And that seems, in many ways, as valuable or more valuable.
To answer your question, the answer is yes. We could do that. It's a possibility, yes.
Can I ask a question?
You just did.
What is, in the mode of updates, what's the status of the citizen petition that was approved and recommended to you by the Planning Commission? They recommended two recommendations to you. One was a support for the citizen-initiated petition, and then the Planning Commission had a separate recommendation they made to you that was almost 5 weeks ago.
Two things on that. One, obviously we've received the recommendation from the Planning Commission. That has been sent to our legal counsel, Mike, to check it out and make sure that there's no hiccups involved in that. The other thing, to be very honest with you, this time of year, our focus is primarily on the budget. Once we get through the budget, then I think you'll see us react to that in a very timely fashion.
So that will be done at the next meeting, you said, approving the budget?
It will be.
So you would expect to have this at the following meeting then, 1st of July?
There's some
legal issues, are there? I mean, they followed the procedures that were laid out in the zoning ordinance itself, and everybody owns property in the watershed.
There were a couple of questions. No, not because I can't, because right now I just don't remember exactly what they are. But there were, and none of them were huge major questions. But Mike had a couple concerns with it, that we'll debrief with him. July, I don't know what's going to happen, because we might only have one meeting in July, because, the 4th is the first Monday. But we, you know, I can assure you we will do what we need to do in accordance with the law of the state of Maryland.
That's not a good answer. The law doesn't require you to have a public hearing at any specific time.
It does require us to have a public hearing.
But not in a specific time. It could be in December. And I think the reason that these people put the petition forward is that they wanted to move ahead and not wait until things get gummed up with the MD regulations and other stuff that might come out. And it sounds like that's what's going to be happening, because you guys aren't taking any action.
Well, all I'll say to that is we've heard what you had to say, and we'll address it.
There's no representation.
That's true. Anything else? All right, we will be back in here at 6 o'clock for the budget hearing and the constant yield.
Also, equal yield is part of that.
Yes, that'll be the very first thing on the agenda. So, Hearing nothing else, we have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All right. Second?
Second.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.